You know you're not okay when things happen in your life. All of us, can all the people who have something in their life that's not okay put their hands up? Or let me say, can all the people who everything in their life is absolutely perfect, nothing hurts, everything is perfect, they're not worried, everything is just the way that it should be, can you put your hands up? And if that's you, that's absolutely fine. Okay, cool. Months ago, Michaela, one of our girls who used to come to our youth group, she came, she was at Greenside, and we met her, Mark and I met her at Greenside, she was a student there, and she came to youth Friday nights, actually, a couple of times, and she was great girl, and what happened was, she was going through stuff in her life that people didn't know about. Couple of her friends knew what was going on, and she resorted to, I don't know if you guys know what cutting is, and she was doing that to herself to try and kind of get over and deal with the stuff that's happening in her life. Mark shares a story where she showed her father once and said, "Dad, look, I'm healed, like I'm no longer cutting," and she showed her father her arms, and you could see that they were healing, but what the dad didn't know was that she was cutting herself on her legs. And I share this story not because I'm trying to make this heavy, but I'm trying to make this real. Michaela was a glorious, glorious, glorious girl, and we don't know what depths and what darkness and what stuff was going on in her head that caused her to eventually take her life. She committed suicide, she hung herself, and we all of us were like, you know, whoa, this thing is real. So this series, it wasn't just ignited by that, but it was just one of the illustrations that Mark and I and the leadership of the youth realized that you guys, us guys, all of us are going through stuff. In fact, on Sunday, one of our adult leaders, Asanda, if you count one, two, she's one of the old people there on the top. She actually said that this is an awesome series and would be awesome to even do with adults downstairs, because all of them are also going through stuff and they don't have the opportunity to do what we're doing here. So don't think this is like, oh, just a youth thing. This is something that is real life. This is something that applies to everybody. You know you're not okay when you long for someone to know. I like this thing. It says, sometimes when I say I'm okay, I want someone to look me in the eyes, hug me tight, and say, I know you're not. How many of you guys have ever been in that situation where you tell someone, no, I'm fine, and deep inside you hope they see and are able to say, what's going on? Talk to me. You know you're not okay when that stuff happens. You know you're not okay. Ooh, my word, this guy is slow. When you hide what you're feeling. I like this. The picture says, I'm okay in red and bold. But if you read in the back, I don't know if you guys can read all that stuff. Agonized, destroyed, distressed, plagued, alone, solitary, lost. And we put up this front, especially when we come to church, because at church you have to be okay. I mean, you have to be all right. Everything in your life, because God is awesome. And we come to church and we hide our emotions and we hide our feelings and we come and everything's okay. You know you're not okay when you just want to be left alone. I know I have this a lot. I'm married and we live in a one-bedroom cottage. It's like we've got a TV space, and then we've got a bedroom, and we've got a kitchen and a bathroom. So the space is quite... And when you want to be left alone, like there's no room to be left alone. Unless you like pretend to go to the toilet and like spend hours there, which I don't do. But I have those moments when I'm like, I just want everybody to leave me alone. I just want, you know, Mark mustn't call me, the church mustn't call me, nobody must SMS me, my wife mustn't even look at me, and I just want to deal with stuff on my own. I don't know if you guys ever feel that at home. You've got a family and you're just like, I just want to be left alone. You know something is wrong when that happens. You know you're not okay when you experience anger that scares you. Some of us deal with this stuff. Some of us, you know, have anger issues. Some of us have anger issues that we can't deal with. Some of us have anger issues that we are dealing with, and sometimes we mess up and they come out and we beat people and say things we don't mean and we, you know, insult people that we don't mean to insult. You know you're not okay when you experience that kind of anger that even you are afraid of. You know you're not okay when you find dangerous ways to deal with your pain. Some people cut, some people buy FHM, some people look on the online, different things for different people. Some people smoke, some people drink, some people just, you know, are angry, some people just sleep. That's how some people deal with stuff. It's just like, I'm so overwhelmed with stuff, I just want to sleep. You know you're not okay when you find ways to do that. You know you're not okay when you find depression. I like what Mark says. Depression is not just, oh, I failed my test and I got 35%, or oh, my airtime's run out and I didn't say that thing I wanted to say, or my parents didn't give me pocket money, or like my, you know when you buy new shoes and someone stands on your shoes, especially when they're white, oh. And you're not at home and you can't wipe them, now you're going and it's got this thing, and everyone's like, nice shoes, but what's that? And then it's just messed up. Or someone wears the same clothes as you. You buy a new scarf and you come to youth and then someone's wearing it. You know you're not okay when someone wears the same scarf as you. you know you're not okay when you consider taking your life. We asked this at Greenside and it was quite, I mean, people raise their hands. You'd think that if you ask that question, how many people here have ever thought of taking their life? You know? Some of us are like, I see, you can't put up your hand. I'm like, what? You can't put up your hand? You know what I mean? But this is the stuff that happens. And in Greenside, we asked this question, and guys put up their hand. And it was so awesome to see guys being honest, to say, you know what? I've been in that place. Mark shares the story where he has also been in a place where he's wanted to take his life, where he thought the end was probably the best for everybody. You know you're not okay when you come to that point. But what happens, guys? We're at church. I mean, we come to church and we do the thing and we praise Jesus with music. And if you go downstairs, it's pumping down there. And the guys are jumping around and the people are dancing and like singing weird things. And like, it's all fun and glory. Why is it that even though we believe in God, why is it that even though we are saved, even though we have all these things that we're supposed to have, you know what I mean? Victory, destiny, testimonies. We had a series here on Sunday called the Identity Series where we learned what God thought about us. God thinks we're awesome. God thinks we're all these wonderful things. But why is it that in the midst of all of that, we still have nonsense happening in our lives? Why is it in the midst of that our families are still broken? Why is it in the midst of even when I say, Lord, I give my life to you, and we cry and we say, Father, take over. Please, I'm struggling. Why is it even when we do that, things don't always work out? And people go like, I'm saved. I thought Jesus was the answer. And people, you know that thing, oh, God bless you. God loves you. Like it solves everything. Oh, no, don't worry. God will take care. Why is it that doesn't work or doesn't seem to work? Maybe it's because that is what life is all about. Here's something that I learned very early on in my faith. And I took it in my heart and I accepted it. It's that Jesus didn't promise us that our lives would be all okay. Jesus didn't come down to earth and down the cross so that our lives would be trouble-free. And that's something that you guys need to understand. Now, Jesus himself says, you know what? In this life, everyone say, in this life, you will have trouble. In this life, you will have trouble. There was a guy who was born the same time as Jesus. We all know Jesus' mother was Mary, and Mary was pregnant with Jesus. There was another lady named Elizabeth who was also pregnant at the same time. So there would be like Anya and Hannah pregnant at the same time, and they're like best friends. And it's like, oh, my baby, I'm going to name him Jesus. And Hannah's like, I'm going to name him John. And they grew up, they kind of like, the Bible says that when Mary and Elizabeth met, there was an instance where they were in close proximity to each other. And the baby started to kick. Like, Jesus started to kick and John started to kick. And I don't know if Jesus, like, smelt John and John smelt Jesus. And it was like, hey, See you in 6 months, dude. Whatever. But John in the Bible, he's even got his own chapter. John is the guy who like loved Jesus. We all know John as the guy who like at the Last Supper, he's the guy who was like just so in love with Jesus. And they grew up together. Jesus discipled him and all these wonderful things. And John walked with Jesus all his life pretty much. When Jesus died, you know, John was still around and he's the one that preached to the people that Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Christ. And do you know how John died? How many of you know how John died? In his sleep. Grew old in exile. Anybody else? That's right. His head was chopped off. Yeah. His head was chopped off, man. John the Baptist, yes. Come teach. John the Baptist. I'm talking about John the Baptist. My bad. John the Baptist's head was chopped off. That's like the worship leader of his people who loves Jesus, and the way that he dies is he gets his head chopped off. Exactly. Why? We don't know. In this life, everyone say it after me, in this life, we will have what? Trouble. In this life, you will have trouble. In this life, I will have trouble. And there's many other people in the Bible who had stuff that happened to them. Job. You guys know the story of Job. Lost everything. Lost his children. Lost his riches. Lost everything. Was sick. There was a point where he like wanted to curse God and die. Like his wife was like, you know what? Things are so bad. Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, you're not okay when like your wife says that. Like when your wife looks at you and says, you know what, sweetie? Just rather curse God, rather swear at God, and then die. Like that's you know that it's hectic when that happens. Job went through this stuff. Paul went through this stuff. The scripture talks about it in 2 Corinthians 11. Five times Jewish leaders beat me with 39 lashes. You guys cry when someone beats you once. This guy was lashed 39 times. Three times officials beat me with clubs. Clubs. Not hands and little clubs. Once people tried to stone me to death. I always imagine this. I don't have a stone here. But do you guys know how hard you have to throw someone to try and kill? Like if you wanted to kill, there's one thing throwing a stone to hurt someone. It's another thing throwing a stone to kill someone. Like this guy says, once people tried to stone me to death. Three times shipwrecked. Faced dangers with raging rivers. From robbers. From my own people. Faced dangers in the city. Open country. On the sea. From believers who turned out to be false friends. How many of you guys have had false friends? Oh, there we go. I've often gone without sleep. How many of you guys gone without sleep because you didn't study for exams? Been hungry. How many of you guys been hungry? How many of you guys been thirsty? How many of you guys have been gone without food and without proper clothes during cold weather? Like this guy went through this stuff. All right? So here's a question that I want to ask you. In what area of your life are you not okay? I want you to think of one area in your life that you can think of now, like boom. That you're not okay. Is there an area that you can think? I'm not going to ask you to share yet. Can you move the chairs? Everyone, can you move the chairs on the side? Chairs on the side. All right. Now, here's what I want you guys to do. I'm going to say something. And if you have experienced this thing, I want you to come and stand on this line. Okay. Is that cool? Do you understand? But everyone must be quiet. Don't speak to your friends, because I want you to think for yourselves, and then you can either say, yep, that's me, and then you just walk to the line, and then you walk back. And if it's not you, you just stay there. Because if you talk to your friends, then you're going to be like, uh-huh, and then Okay, I'll explain. So I'm going to say something, and then if it applies to you, you're going to walk to the front. So, how many of you have cried anytime this week? Just quietly to the line and back. Quietly. Okay, we're going to try this again. Guys, maybe let's turn the music off so it seems more. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys, no talking. Okay, this is the part where we start to get a little bit, just a little bit real. Okay, if any of you have cried, for whatever reason, solo men, line, like the girls, on the line. For whatever reason, if you've cried any time this week, step to the line and then go back. Quietly. Quietly, no comments, Doug and Warren. Okay. If any of you have been angry at your mom or your dad any time this week, quietly. Quietly. If you haven't been, it's fine. You can stay. There's nothing wrong with that. Back to the wall. Back to the wall. Back to the wall. Shh. If any of you have been angry about anything this week, quietly. Back to the wall. Quietly. If any one of you have at school felt like you were being bullied and picked on, quietly. Or at work. If any of you feel like at some point during this week you felt really, really picked on, really, really, really bullied, quietly, girls. Back to the wall. If any of you have struggled with keeping yourselves sexually pure this week, quietly. Guys, this is serious. Quietly. Quietly. What don't you understand about quietly? All right. If any of you, you can go back to the wall. If any of you have struggled with any sort of jealousy against somebody else this week, quietly. Okay, three more. Thank you. To the wall. If any of you have felt hopelessness to the point, not even to the point of taking your own life, but just felt like there's no ways that you are going to be better from whatever situation that is, where you just felt like giving up, whether it's school, tests, exams, your life, stuff you've been trying out, quietly. Okay, two more. If any of you felt like your parents didn't believe in you, or felt a negative vibe, whether they didn't believe in you, you felt like they didn't love you, they're disappointed, where you just felt like, I've just let these guys down again, and they've actually lost all faith in me now. Okay. Two more. To the side. Oh, is it one more? One more. If any of you felt like nobody understands what you are going through. And you can you can't share what you're going through with anybody, because actually nobody can help. Okay. Thank you for participating. Alrighty. Next slide. You guys can bring your seats there. Make yourselves comfortable again. Next slide. All right. That exercise proves once again that we're all going through stuff. And this is what we're going to go through now. Question is there light in the darkness? Are there steps that we can take to go from I'm not okay to I am okay? Okay? The truth is, and the answer to that question is yes. First step, admitting to yourself, which you guys have just done. The first step to getting okay is admitting that I'm not okay. Do you know what, I was watching this movie, it's actually a book called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And there's this guy, I think in the first one, big, big, big guy who's huge. And in the movie, he beats everybody up. And like whoever fights him, the guy doesn't seem like he feels anything. And you come to find in the movie that this guy has a disease where he doesn't feel pain. Like, so if you punch him, nothing happens to him. If you fight him, if you shoot him, he won't feel anything. And what happens in the movie, the way that he actually gets caught is he's chasing this girl and he's looking for this girl over like a ledge kind of thing. And the girl is hiding underneath. And he's looking for her, and he's like, really, if he can just get her, he'll just break her neck. And what she has is one of these hammer guns, these with nails. And she shoots them in his feet, like, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do. And he's still kind of like looking for this chick. And then when he sees her, he realizes he can't move, and he's bleeding there, and he can't move, and nothing can happen. And then she comes out and calls the police and stuff. And this was such a powerful lesson for me, in that sometimes we want to feel no pain. But the truth about pain is that pain is actually a communicator to you that something's wrong. And some people don't like to admit that something is wrong in their lives. And so they like that guy. It's like they walk through life. If this is life, they walk through life. My parents got divorced. Poof. Didn't feel that. My sister just died. Poof. Didn't feel that. You know, someone at youth just committed suicide. Poof. Didn't feel that. My girlfriend just broke up with me. Poof. Didn't feel that. My heart is broken. Poof. Didn't feel that. And we go through life and we pretend like pain is nothing to us. And today, the first thing that you guys need to realize is when you admit, when you feel, that's a good thing. That's the first step. You should get worried when stuff happens to you and you put on this like RoboCop, I'm okay. I'll get over this. This is cool. I don't know if you've ever met people like that. Just they've built walls around their hearts, and it's just whatever happens, these guys are survivors. Bible says, that's why I take pleasure. This is Paul. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. The Bible says that when you weak, in your weakness, God's strength is made perfect. In your weakness, when you are weak, God's strength is made perfect. Because when you aren't, you're pretty much self-reliant, and you do that thing. And you just, doesn't matter. I've failed. People are bullying me at school. People are laughing at me at school. Doesn't matter. And you just have this stuff in your heart. And you think you're fine, but you're not. First step to being okay is admitting to who? Yourself. Please, guys, don't try and be warriors. in this particular instance. It's okay to feel pain. It's okay to go through stuff. All right? Next step, speak to Father. And I know some of you guys struggle with this. I know that. I know some of you guys struggle to pray. I know that some of you guys struggle to talk to God. I know that for some of you, it's just, you don't know how to do it. Like if someone could just teach you, how do you talk to this invisible God? How do you talk to this guy in the sky who died 2,000 and whatever years ago on a tree somewhere in Newtown? Not really. And you struggle with it. But the Bible says, righteous people cry out to God. The Lord hears and rescues them from all their trouble. And sometimes it just takes you reading that and believing that and putting your faith in those two lines. And even if anybody tells you anything, you just stick to those two lines. You read your Bible. And if the Bible says that God hears people when they cry, and you choose to believe that with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind and all your faith, I promise you God will show himself strong. Before you decide to quit, even two lines can save your life. Even two lines from the living word of God can save your life. And sometimes we give up too easily. Sometimes it's like, and I've seen you guys, Not even in things as serious as life. Things as serious as like, hey, can you make me a cup of tea? Or hey, can you switch on the light? Or hey, can you do announcements? Or hey, can you come to band at 6 o'clock on Saturday? Or hey, can you lead a song? And it's like, oh no, it's so hard. No. And I know that's how we are sometimes. That it's like, we'll try something once, we'll try something three, try something four times. Aye, fifth time, aye, get this thing, aye. And you chuck it to the side. And I want to encourage you guys, don't give up on God. Even if you spend 15 minutes in your room tonight and nothing happens, trust me, God exists and God is real. And you guys have full access to the Father heart of God. Full access to him. The Bible says that he knows you more than anybody knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the number of hairs in your weave. Yeah, you know if you have a weave. He knows you so intimately that if you just speak to him, if you just surrender to him, in whatever circumstance you face, he will give you an answer. He will provide someone to give you an answer. God can speak to you himself. He can speak to you through people. He can speak to you through people on stage, through people at school, through a movie that you watch, through a cloud formation that you see, through a burning bush, through a mule. It doesn't matter. God will get to you. He knows your number. You think you're so socially connected because you got Mixit and SMSs. Guys, I guarantee you, God speaks to you. And sometimes it's not a thundering, booming voice. But if you look at your life and you look and you're aware and you open your eyes and you see things and you trust that God speaks to you, I promise you he'll hear you. Speak to him. Open up your imagination and open up your mind and you'll see that. Number three, tell a friend. This is hard. And we're going to try a little bit of this now. Bible says, if one falls, the other can help his friend get up. But how tragic it is for the one who is all alone when he falls. There is no one to help him get up. I mean, that's not rocket science. We know that. The Bible is truth. We know this. We've experienced this. When no one's around, we fall. Simple as that. So tonight, I'm not going to ask you to get deep, but this is what I will ask you to do. I want you to get into groups of five. And all I want you to say in your group is, hi, my name is whoever you, so your name, and you're going to say, I'm not okay because, and you don't have to explain, so I can say, hi, my name is Jonathan, I'm not okay because I want to kill my sister. You can leave it there, you don't even have to explain. If you want to explain, you can, but everyone is going to go, oh, hi, my name is Sarah. I'm not okay because my cat died. Whatever. However deep you want to go, You're going to say that statement. Everyone is going to get a chance, and you don't have to explain. And then after everyone has gone, if, and I would encourage you to do it, you want to speak further, even if it's just to show people a little bit of where you're at. Just so people know a little bit more about where you're at and about your reality. Is that cool? Is that a little bit scary, but cool? Okay, groups of five. Once again, keep it down. Hi, my name is, I'm not okay because, and then I want to encourage you guys to take it further from there. I'm not going to dictate how you're going to do it. All right. Last two steps. So tell a friend. I know it's hard. Sometimes your friends are the hardest people to speak to in terms of the bad stuff. We're good at rugby scores and soccer scores and movies and new releases and songs and Bluetoothing each other, ringtones. That we're awesome at, number one. But when it comes to like yesy things that are heavy and things that are not going so well, especially the guys, especially the boys, we're not so good at like, hey, Mfethu, boom, and sharing our hearts about stuff. And so we are to a certain extent even worse off because we're very good at just hiding our stuff and just carrying on with life. So please, guys, encourage you this evening. Tell a friend, even if it's not the full story, even if it's just, and to the friends who are being told, let me encourage you guys, when someone shares something with you, like take it to the next level as well. You know, open up your heart and ask questions and start to, you know, get deeper into each other's lives. Number four, ask for help. All right? Sometimes your problems are things that you actually need outside help from. It's not just friendships. It's not just, sometimes you need actually expert counsel. Bible says in Proverbs 19:20, take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. Sometimes you actually need to go to someone a little bit more experienced, a little bit older than you are, and you actually have to say, listen, I'm struggling with A, B, C, D, E. Can you help me? So this evening, I want to encourage you guys, even if things seem perfect, you don't have to be the perfect teenagers in the universe. Maybe in some other places, in fact, all other churches, well, I don't know. But in this church, at least, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be you. So I want to encourage you, ask for help when stuff is going bad. Whoever you are, even if you're one of the leaders, even if you're one of whatever, if your parents are pastors at church, or your parents, you know, preach downstairs, or your parents have big businesses, whatever it is, you don't have to dress up for us. Ask for help. And number five, focus on the future. And sometimes this is hard. But, you know, the only thing that can motivate you, or one of the biggest things that can motivate you, is the fact that it's going to be okay. If you believe that, you'll pretty much endure anything. It's like if you know that tomorrow you're getting 1 million rand, like tomorrow at 12, you will do everything in your power to survive until 12. Because you know, 12 o'clock tomorrow, your problems are going, or some of them at least. You know what I mean? If you have a promise, if you know and you have a picture of what your future looks like, if God came to you and said, listen, I know you're struggling now, but let me show you something, and he opened your imagination, and you saw yourself, you know, with a family, happily, kids running around, and it's sunshine, and you've got a nice house and friends, and you guys are doing a braai there, and the Springboks are winning, and Bafana Bafana wins the World Cup, and you see all of that in your head, you'll be like, you know what? I know I'm 13 or 14 or 12 or 11, but I know that in 20 years' time, I'm going to get there. And all you need is just a glimpse of the fact that it's going to be all right. And guys, the Bible is called the good news for a reason. It's called the good news because it's good news. Because in the end, we win. In the end, we make it. In the end, we are victorious. But if your faith doesn't fail you, you'll see that. Okay? That is why we never give up. Everyone say, never give up. Never give up. Sometimes we want to give up. Sometimes we really, really, really feel like giving up. But that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles, everyone say present troubles, are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. If you can just get a picture of what God has in store for you, a picture of what heaven looks like, and you spend your life going after that, you spend your life not focusing on chatting while I'm talking on stage, like Ife and Vincent at the back. Yeah, I will call you out if you misbehave. If you just focus and you spend your life trying to discover what it is that God has for you, and you decide and you say to yourself, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know what heaven looks like. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. I don't know what everyone's talking about when they say goodness and you good and goodness and goodness. If you spend your life saying, but I'm determined to find out, you will find out. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living if you decide to go after it. But once again, like I said earlier, if you decide to give up, then the enemy is like, yes. And then he's got you. It's a fight, guys. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. What did we say in the beginning? Jesus didn't promise us no troubles. He said, in this life, you will have trouble. But it's not all going to be bad. You're going to have seasons of nonsense. You're going to have seasons of rough times. You're going to have seasons of like rock bottom. But you're going to have awesome seasons as well. You're going to have seasons where you're standing on the mountaintop and you're going, yeah. And you're able to tell people who are climbing up, guys, just hold on a little bit longer. You'll get there. If you just hold on, focus on the future. The last exercise for today before we have coffee or hot chocolate or whatever it is that's going to come out of those doors. Lions or whatever. I want you guys to get creative. That thing that you thought about when I said in what area of your life are you not okay. On the table tennis board there, table, there's pieces of paper, there's crayons. I know some of you haven't like done something like this since ever. There's pens, there's crayons, there's wax crayons. There's pens if you want to write, pens if there are no crayons to draw. But I want you guys to draw what your future looks like. So if I said to myself in the area of my life where things are not okay, it's my relationship with my sister. Like we're not getting along and we don't chat and things have happened and it's just awkward. I want you to go and pick up a piece of paper and paint what you'd like that to look like. And like, draw hugging my sister, little hearts, flowers all around, you know, and smiles. And I want you guys to train your mind now into seeing what God sees, into not looking at your current situation, your present troubles, not looking at your present troubles, but looking at what the future holds. Okay, can you guys get creative with that? We're going to put on some music, going to give you some time. Pick up a piece of paper, pick a spot. I don't want you close to your friends. Pick a spot anywhere. I want to see bodies scattered all over this room. No, wait, man. Bodies scattered all over this room. And I want you guys to take a piece of paper and draw. Imagine. Okay? Do it. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten. Okay. grab a piece of paper, pick a spot. Yeah. Pick a spot all by yourself. Think of your own area in your life, your own area. And then I want you to draw it. All right, guys. Looks like everyone is finishing. Allison, could you please come up? This is Allison. Allison visits us every now and then. She's goes to Greenside. She's part of our inspired group at Greenside. And she is a poet. And she asked me if she could share one of her poems that relates to what we've been talking about. So I'd like you to please lend her your ears. Just pass them to the front. We'll give them back to you as soon as she's done. And here's what, in terms of these pictures, guys, please fold them up, put them in your pocket, but like stick them on your wall. I know it's probably silly for other people who see them, but I know that for you, they tell a story. So even if it's, you know, keep them somewhere in your room, on your door, something that you can see every day and just remember whatever it is that you've written down. Don't have to explain it to people, but you'll know what you've written down. This isn't just an exercise for you to just throw away. So please, I encourage you, stuff that you've drawn, keep it, and you can even continue drawing the stuff at home if you really feel like it.
Hi, guys. I'm Allison. I've been having like a really, really rough week. And like a lot of events have been following after one, and they've all just been bad. And last night, this morning, I went to bed at 3 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. All these thoughts and this pain and anger that has been built up over the time that I've been hiding it and storing it away just came and attacked me in one full force that I couldn't understand what was going on, and I didn't even know how to react to this. Due to the fact that I've been hiding so much and I've been protecting myself from pain, that when I actually tried to express myself, it came out in a way that I didn't want it to. And today, God punished me in a nice way by making me sit at the bus stop from 4 o'clock until 5 in the cold. And you know, when you don't have a phone and your phone is dying, what do? You just sit and think. So while I was thinking, I wrote a poem in my head. It's not fresh. But yeah, it goes like this. I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't okay. I'd be lying to you if I said everything in my life is going smoothly, but I'm not, because I told you, I'd be lying to you. I'd be lying if I said that when I wake up in the morning, all I see is stars. But when I wake up in the morning, my face is so sad that I can't even look up to see the stars. I'd be lying to you if when I tell you that I go to bed, I have sweet dreams, but those dreams are never sweet because I told you, I'd be lying if I told you they were. I'd be lying if everything in my life was as smooth as getting on a train every day and getting to your next destination. But as I said, I'd be lying. And a quote from my own, it says, take this pen and holler at the page. Write on why you're here. Write on your life. Write on the hard days you'll be living. Write on the great days you'll be spilling. Take this pen and show me your world. Let the ink flow as it tells me about the stories you've left untold. With this pen, show me your way and let me walk your path. With this pen, we'll both learn how to live again. With this pen, we can be human to a world where being normal is uncool. To a world where there are no rules, to a world where your freedom could be someone's curse. With this pen, I want to read your life. And with this pen, come on, guys, let's watch 3 more lines. Thanks.
Come on. All right, guys. This is just the beginning, guys. Some of us are going to go home and things are going to still be the same. Okay? But this is a first step to getting fine. All right? One of my this is how I answer people now when I cuz you know when you say, "Hey, how are you?" and you're actually not okay. This is what I'm starting to say to people now. And this is what the series is all about. We're going to say it together. I'm not okay, but I will be. Can you see those three things at the end of B? How many of you take English at school? Do you know what those are called? Do you know what exclamation marks are for? It's when you're shouting. So you do realize that there isn't a full stop there. So we're going to read it again as it's written up there. All right? One, two, three. Everybody. One, two, three. I'm not okay, but I will be. Cool, guys.